Our next speaker is the resident MacArthur genius of Madison, Wisconsin, has devoted his life to this very cause, to fighting for a green economy, to fighting for fair wages, to fighting for jobs. He is the director of COWS, the National High Road Think and Do Tank. Newsweek has identified him as one of the 100 living Americans most likely to shape U.S. politics and culture in the 21st century. Please join me in welcoming Joel Rogers.
Hi, everybody. Good morning. Good morning. I'm looking at my phone here because Ruth has limited me strictly to 10 minutes. I want to put on the timer. Okay, here it is. So a little shout out to Ed Garvey, who's not here today, who started this. And thanks to all the interns. I've forgotten all their names, but they all seem brilliant to me. And especially to Ruth and of course, Dave Zweifel from Capital Times for sponsoring the event. So feel the burn yet? Feel the burn? Feel the burn? Come on, you seem to be asleep. Feel the burn? All right. So in Bernie Sanders, I don't want to really talk much about national politics. We want to talk more about the state politics here. But Bernie Sanders seems to be the real deal. He's a social democrat who actually has his convictions. And, you know, I don't know if you've read the book from Ticini, but if you go through his program, it's a very sensible left social democratic program, a massive public investment in a variety of needed public goods, from transportation or transit to education, to healthcare, of course, and other things. It's a reasonable program to navigate our relation to the rest of the world economy through more managed trade and diversity and other stuff. And it's a curb on ridiculous, destructive financial speculation of the sort that's driven us into the Great Depression or Great Recession, effectively a long depression in the U.S., And of course, about raising living standards in the U.S., but first by raising the minimum wage and then making unionization semi-legal and things like that. It's a great program. So feel the burn, feel the burn. And whatever he does, whatever success he finally has, I totally agree with John from last night. You know, whatever effect it is, it's going to be driving the Democratic nominee, whoever that might be, whether it's Joe Biden or Hillary Clinton or whatever. Biden, of course, having a worse record on all the things that people hate about Clinton than Clinton does. You know, he was the guy, who was just talking to Steve Cobble, he was the guy who basically carried the credit card bill. And he, of course, voted for the Iraq War and a variety of other things. But leave that aside. On Bernie's thing, I, of course, would prefer, you know, being a typical lefty and suffering, as all of you do, naturally, from, you know, authority denial disorder, ADD, as we call it. I, of course, have my, you know, niggling criticisms, but they really are niggling. I mean, I would much prefer him to do major investment early in the lifespan than just give the money to seniors. I prefer a lot more experimentation on what he's doing rather than simply increasing government programs. I prefer a progressive federalism to what he seems to have in mind. And I would prefer more attention to the supply side rather than simply the demand side of the economy. But these are relatively small, and you need to do what he's doing. Or proposes to do in order to even get to that point. Oscar Wilde, the Irish savant, famously remarked that America was the only country in the world that passed directly from barbarism to decadence without pausing for civilization. And what Bernie's trying to do is at least get us to civilizational levels, at which point we can figure out how to have some real fun as a humanity. Anyway, I'm all for it. Internationally and nationally, but and in Wisconsin too, it's sort of easy to get sort of discouraged these days. I mean, when you look at internationally, when you look at, you know, the tremendous appeal of ISIS, our completely failed self-destructive war, alleged war on terror, the increased Obama's completion of Elihu Root's old program to, you know, keep American hegemony intact, which he's making tremendous progress on, I think, through the Pacific Partnership, and now the transatlantic one to follow soon. And you look at the degradations of domestic politics, of course, you know, it's easy to be discouraged. I, in fact, am sort of upbeat on humanity. I'm worried about this country very much. I'm worried about this state even more. But I'm sort of upbeat on humanity because the material conditions, actually, for realizing our humanity are vastly better than they've ever been. First of all, we are, in fact, all connected to each other, which we've never been really before, at effectively costless stuff, you know, of course there's monitoring and other stuff, but basically we can talk to anyone in the world and we can do joint actions all over the world and coordinate those actions. We're obviously, as a humanity, much richer, much healthier, much more educated, much more tolerant than we've ever been. So we're in a position to actually do something with this gift of life that we have. I understand, you know, that thermonuclear annihilation might wipe us out, and if unless we do something on the combustion of fossil fuels, we might be lost entirely to species extinguishing, global warming. Yeah, I recognize that, but there are ways to get around those things, and the material conditions are there. So sometimes I look at the world; it looks like, you know, we're just heading into a self-constructed toilet, and half the time I look at it and say, well, you know. Caravaggio, the great Italian painter who actually showed us human flesh and all of its luminousness, is just about to arrive in Rome, you know, starting the great Renaissance. And I don't know where to, you know, cut the balance there, but I'm gonna stick with Caravaggio right now. I'm gonna you know, cast a little bit of a vote for hope. You know, what's the alternative? Okay. Ruth asked me to say something about this think and do tank that I run. It's called Cows. We provide milk for the movement. I don't know if you can see this ridiculous t-shirt, but the ridiculous name derives from the fact that we were originally the Center on Wisconsin Strategy, because I thought that Wisconsin would be a great testbed for all sorts of experimentation in the way it had been for many, many years. Wisconsin, as you don't need to be told, has a really distinguished history in the United States of basically inventing most of the New Deal, you know, 30 years before it actually started through the work of John R. Commons and his friends. And for a very long time, it held this steady place in American politics as a sort of middle-income state with very low levels of inequality, with a superabundant supply of public goods, great roads, great education system, you know, good water, great public spaces, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That, of course, has come into, you know, bad, just checking my notes here. Okay, I got 3 minutes left. A bad time in the last 40 years in Wisconsin. It's not just Scott Walker, it's much longer than that. You know, Walker was preceded by what? Doyle, who was not particularly, you know, exciting in my book. He was preceded by McCallum, who was, you know, so obscure and just poisonous that no one can remember his name. And he then was preceded by Tommy Thompson, who, you know, basically inaugurated and then ratified a sort of infantilization of the state legislature through his repeated use of the amendatory veto, and also the complete corruption of state politics in terms of the campaign finance stuff. So it's not like it's been a great 30 years in Wisconsin, even before Walker. And when you look at the right and what the right has done over the same 30 or so years, actually 40 years from the early 1970s on, they have systematically built a massive infrastructure to support their politics. It has channels of communication that get out to their base and to a broader public. It has mechanisms of youth recruitment and training to get them into politics. It's got service centers all over the place that can do, you know, sort of everything from, I don't know, right-wing agitprop to particular polling or advice to particular campaigns. And then it's got the four big M's. It's got message, money, models, and what's the fourth M? I forget what the fourth M is. But it's got a very simple program of simply destroying the U.S. and taking it back to the 19th century, taking it back to McKinley. It's also very, very explicit in all this. When you talk to Karl Rove or you talk to Grover Norquist, they say, what we want to do is take America back to the era of McKinley, only with a bigger national defense, meaning aggression system. That's what's really at stake in the country. Are we going to repeal the New Deal, or are we going to restore it, which is what DeVerdy's trying to do the spirit of, and then move forward in some substantial way or not? And it's, you know, it's perilous times for this place. The rest of the world may be getting better, but we are falling further behind. And I'm not talking about further behind in terms of our military power or security position or whatever, or necessarily even our competitiveness, quote unquote, but falling behind in terms of our standard of living and the degree to which the fruits of prosperity are more or less widely shared, which is the test of economic policy in a democracy. What is high road about? We build a high road everywhere. Okay, there are basically two ways in which you can make a ton of money in today's economy. You can treat people like roadkill and the earth like a sewer and the state as something that you want to not pay taxes to but extract rents from. Call that the low road. There's another way in which you can make a lot of money, though, and that is to compete not on price, which is what the lowbrow does, but on quality and distinctiveness in production, which requires better trained workers with better equipment to produce it, and also requires monomaniacal attention to resource productivity. And the high road turns out to be better for the environment, much better for workers, better for equity, better for communities, and finally better for democracy than the low road. Duh. What COWS is about, and we've had very little success pushing Wisconsin this direction, but great success outside this state, oddly, with cities and other states, et cetera, trying to incline them toward high road, a high road development path. I tried this with Doyle, I tried it a little bit with Thompson. Thompson was actually friendlier about all this than Doyle was, which is sort of remarkable. Anyway, that's what COWS does. If you look at Wisconsin, look over the same 40 years we were just talking about with the right, I recommend to all of you that very, very sad, here's my blinkers, I gotta end here, very sad piece, and he announces it as sad. Oops. Of course, if you have an alarm, you should be able to turn it off as well. There we go, okay. Very sad, and he apologizes for that, but it's really striking piece that John Wiley, who came here as a graduate student, then became a professor, then became a full professor, then became chancellor and provost, and went off to Bell Labs, made a bunch of money, came back, blah, blah, blah. And he talks about going from Indiana, Evansville, Indiana, a town I don't know particularly well, certainly at the time, 1964, that he describes his arrival in Wisconsin. He says, you know, it was sort of like entering a different world. Instead of the roads being broken down and people not being able to know how to make change and pausing stupidly at traffic lights without moving, you know, they seemed to be like fully conscious, literate human beings with a future. And I had exactly the same experience, believe it or not, 20 years later, in 1983, when I first came to Wisconsin, on a little summer fellowship thing. I was educated at the Ivy League. I'd never been in a town where the state university was actually, you know, applauded and talked about on TV, when there were ads for the local, you know, football team on TV, when the town insisted that the state capitol be within sight of the chancellor's office, that town gown thing that was going. And so when Wisconsin made me an offer, and then they vetoed the offer, and they made another offer, which required that I give up two ranks of tenure, going back from full professor to assistant professor, two-thirds of my salary going from 100 to 33, I took it in a leap. That's the sort of thing that's not going to happen in the future in Wisconsin if we continue along the way that we're going. Okay? Good luck. Fight on.
Rachel Rogers.